Testing, testing, hot out, bound car. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Are you ready?
I'm all ready.
You on here? Come on, let's go inside and get started.
Dusty out in that hall.
Hey, get a load of fats over there.
Oh, would I like to melt you just once.
Dusty out in that hall.
What's my temperature, Norton? Oh, come on, let's get moving. Isn't there any lard here?
Yeah, about 300 pounds.
A 20% percentage.
And now, who is our next guest, please?
Herb, here's our next guest.
Ed Norton.
Ha, ha! Watch this.
The Honeymooners Podcast, the only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time, with the stars, Joe Conte and Louis Fats.
If they ever institute a Nut of the Month Club, I've got a very good idea who's going to be January and February.
Welcome, fellow raccoons and members of the Women's Auxiliary. What's happening, all you Hurricanes, Bensonhurst Bombers, and all you Slugger Simpsons of the world? You're listening to the Honeymooners Podcast with me, Joe Conte, and my pal, Louis Fats.
Don't worry, I'll be there. And if you don't show up, I'll come get you. Where do you live?
Keep that in mind. We're going to revisit that.
Yeah, way. We'll be revisiting that.
Revisited.
The only podcast all about the greatest show of all time. We record in the non-productive studios at 328 Chauncey Street in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, also known as Clifton, New Jersey. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and leave a positive review because we will listen to them after the show. Yep. The home base is non-productive.com/honeymooners, and that is where you can listen to the show, the last one, all the way to the first one, whenever you want, if you don't do the podcast thing, and it's our homepage. Don't forget to like our Honeymooners Podcast Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, and that's at Honeymooner1, and support us through Patreon. And we're going to announce we want to do something a little special with the Patreon listeners.
Yeah, for the Patreon people.
And if you go to non-productive.com and click on any of the episodes, you just scroll back to the bottom, you can find a link for the Patreon. And you can, you can do some really good things if you want to, if you're not, if you're a little bit on the cheap side, you don't really want to give much, you could just,
I suppose I can put you down for the usual buck.
You could do that, right?
I can put you down for the usual buck. I suppose.
Wow, that's a repeating there.
Yeah, real.
I don't know why. That's
$3.
Or if you're feeling a little generous, you could
$100.
You could give us
$100. $100.
That's $300.
I don't know why I did it. That's so weird. I have to stop it. It's not just playing it once. This is very weird.
That's right. Give people that guilt feeling of guilt.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know what they say about guilt.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
It just keeps going. I don't know why it's doing that. All right. If you want to leave us a voicemail, call 240-442-2635. And we'll play the voicemail on the air. Or if it's just a question you want to ask us. Yeah. And if you want to email us at honeymoonerspodcast@aol.com.
Aren't they ancient? Aren't they ancient?
Thank you.
There we are.
Okay, we are. We're
ancient.
Twice as ancient as any of those. And what's going on, Lou?
Joe, 103.
103.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Man, that's a lot of episodes.
It sure is. And you know what's funny for everybody that's listening? They all get what we do, because they're like us. But people who don't know, like when I tell people after a show, they'll say, oh, you do the Honeymooners thing? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, we've done 99 episodes, 100 episodes. And they just look at you like, how is that possible? Like they're not saying it,
but
they're giving me that look like, how?
100 episodes?
They've only 39.
Like what the heck did you talk about?
Yeah.
The same old thing.
Right, exactly. The same thing.
He's always trapped. I mean, speaking of trapped. Last week,
oh boy,
which is why we didn't record last week, because I was basically trapped in my house because they were paving my street. It took them 3 weeks.
Unbelievable.
Big street.
Unbelievable. It's just, it's crazy.
I was trapped.
He was, Louis was trapped.
I was trapped.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't get out.
Yeah, and after 11 o'clock, nobody was coming by. Coming by anyway. Visiting hours was over. Well, listen, so what we want to do is before we get started, right, because we're not doing the names and guys anymore with the numbers.
No, we don't do the number thing anymore. Thank God for that. Yeah. Thank God we got it to the 100.
So we got to get into, before we get started, we want to talk about our fantastic sponsor, Silk City Hot Sauce.
Oh, yeah.
What you do is, if you want to get the best hot sauce on the planet, and I got to tell you, the new honey, you know, the new honey habanero hot sauce,
yeah.
It's absolutely fantastic. We are through a bottle and a half, me and my stepson. I'm starting to put it on different stuff, and it's just got just enough for somebody like me who's a little bit of a wuss when it comes to the hot stuff.
Well, the sweet usually balances that out.
Yeah, that little bit of honey.
That'll balance it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, and the bottle itself is worth just buying.
Oh,
it.
Yeah, just to.
You know, with the picture of Ralph and Ed, the caricature, my friend Mike Morse created that. So what you do is, if you want to get some of the best hot sauce ever. Now, I know some people get worried, you know, but listen, right now it's Christmas time.
Perfect.
You could get yourself some great packages. Mm-hmm. Go to SilkCityHotSauce.com. And I know you're wondering, like, well, what if...
I've been putting on a little weight lately.
I don't know why this is doing that. You got to be quick on the draw there, Joe.
I got to cut it off.
I don't understand. I don't get it. But anyway, so what you do is you go to SilkCityHotSauce.com and find yourself one of the great packages, or if you just want to buy 30 bottles of the honey hot
habanero, happy, healthy, handy honey.
$2. $2. Love when he holds his two fingers up. $2. And what you do is get yourself some great hot sauce. Then what happens is you go to the checkout, and you'll see a little thing there for a coupon code.
Yep.
And what you do is you put
RX
in the coupon code, and you get yourself a 15%
percentage
off of your order. And then you also get a...
A free bottle of cherry sriracha.
I'm sorry, sir. I couldn't think of the word.
Yeah, well,
I'm sorry, sir.
He comes in. Yeah, and get yourself.
We're doubling down this.
We don't even know if you're going to get the free bottle of cherry sriracha anymore. We don't even care. We're still going to do this no matter what.
I just like saying it.
Yeah.
We like to hear Mr. President.
We love to hear Mr. President, you know, fumble on his words and all that kind of stuff. So, SilkCityHotSauce.com. Get yourself. They have some great hot sauces. Like Slurp and
Aztec Attack,
Badass Jew. Yeah. There's so many. He's got so many on there. Some that have very interesting titles. I will tell you. If you see, they're very, very. Kingfish Levinsky, one of our pals, who is the proprietor, has an interesting sense of humor.
Yeah,
I will definitely say that. Jeff Kingfish. So. How do we want to start our show? Well, first of all, we wanted to just, because our last show, we had our pal, Mark Weissman was our full-grown
nut of the week.
So Mark sent me a message, and he wanted just to relay this, and I'll read this in the exact phonetic way that Mark wrote it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, brothers and sisters under the pelt. I've never been so deeply touched in all my life. Gives me a lump in my throat. But I ask you, am I worthy of such an honor? I say positively, absolutely, and certainly. So yes, I will advance into the sunshine of full-grown nuthood. Heck, I'll even put on a plaque on the front of my car. Not your car, my car. So please, join me in my celebration, won't you? And dat, give me a $1 million idea. I'm gonna celebrate. Just got to get that bottle of wine I was supposed to give my brother for Christmas, then read the label, and I'll be all set. Here. Here's Munurai, RX. Oh, and by the way, thanks for not mentioning my snoring fault. It's one of those sleeping problems I can't get rid of.
The old sleeping problem.
The old sleeping problem. So, Mark, of course, from last week, our last episode was our full-grown nut. Yeah.
Good job.
And, of course, a great member of the our full-grown nut. What do we call them?
Full-grown nut fraternity.
Full-grown nut fraternity. A member of the fraternity. It's going to be a lot easier. Mm-hmm. Well, what we have to do is go right in to this week's.
Verily. The Honeymooners podcast knights the full-grown nut of the week. Aren't you lucky?
Here we go.
It gives me real pleasure to present to you this award.
Hal Lesser.
Yes.
Yeah, Joe's a special one, Joe.
This is a little special. A little special because this is going to be our first father-son duo. Because JP, who's one of our part of the fraternity, he's one of our pals, is one of the full-grown nuts fraternity. Yep. And his father down in Florida.
His father, he was there.
He was there. And Hal's always contributing.
Yes. Great contributor.
Absolutely.
Good researcher.
Good
researcher.
Yeah, absolutely. Man who's
a lot of tidbits on research.
Well, he was one of two or three guys that let us know that that when last week when we were talking about the valley of
into the valley of death, road to 600.
Road to 600. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hal was one of the guys who sent us a message and said what it was from.
Yeah.
And but he's always been a pal, researcher, like you said.
Good researcher. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Him and brother Bibbs could probably be in the same cell of.
Back a ways, he sent me something on Jose. Grab a few bars of Swanee River.
That's right. I think he gave the whole the whole life of Jose. Unbelievable.
You gotta give him the treatment. He didn't get the treatment. Is this the man who gets you?
Well, that's true. Because we couldn't even do that.
Yeah.
We just knew. You know, we just knew because he asked.
Am I worthy of such an honor?
And we just did. Yeah, you know. He knew it even before we did it. He was like,
"And once again, I want to thank you, you, for presenting me with this."
Because he knew. Even before
we went to the board, they said, "Well, what took you so long? We were waiting for this guy. You know, you're just blowing him off every week."
Well, that's true.
So it was easy. He went right through.
You know why?
He always looked like some kind of nut to me.
That's what you got
to
have.
That's pretty much all
That's what you need.
Does he look like some kind of nut?
Yeah.
And we asked, is that the guy?
Me.
That was him.
Sure, we actually have a picture of him. Him, JP, the four of us.
Oh, that's right.
Put it up on the...
You know what? Yes. Yeah. I will look for it, find it, and I'll put it up. Yeah. The four of us. Me, you... JP and his father, Hal.
Hal was up from Florida.
So, welcome to the fraternity, Hal.
Yes.
It's a long time coming.
Yeah, deserved.
But well-deserved, all right?
I know. You're part of the fraternity.
Yep, and we know already it's starting
to... It brings a tear to my eye and a lump to my throat.
So, again, congratulations, Hal. Welcome aboard. And hopefully this train will get to Minneapolis and not to Norfolk, Virginia. Norfolk, Virginia. Oh, boy. So, all right. Real quick, one of these things I wanted to just mention, and I forgot to mention it last week. A couple weeks ago on one of our, I think it was our last live show, somebody commented on the live YouTube thing afterwards, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, a lot of
great
time.
And we're already talking about maybe doing something for 111.
111. People have suggested we should do something special for 111.
111, obviously.
Okay, because it's just only so many numbers that are meaningful.
That are truly meaningful.
That's one of them.
And we, some of the earlier ones, we weren't in that mode yet.
No.
We were just trying to figure out what
the heck we were doing. Because we'd have had something special for three.
Three.
We didn't know. And episode three, we had no clue.
Yeah, we didn't know what we were doing, you know? We didn't know what we were doing.
And it showed.
So, and I just wanted to mention, it was a very nice thing this person said. Kevin Brock commented on our YouTube channel on the page and said, "This podcast has helped me get through a few tough days at work over the past couple of years. Salute, fellas."
Oh, thank you.
And I told him, I said, thanks for the kind words. Yeah. But that was very nice. Yeah. And I just figured that was a nice thing for him to say.
Yeah.
And we appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we thank you guys for giving us a listen and being part of the whole thing over here. So, we have a lot of stuff we got to do today. Like, we got a bunch of bits.
We're touching on a lot of little bits.
A lot of bits today, and then the end is something I think is fantastic.
Yeah, we do. We got the ending. Don't tell me about the surprise ending.
I don't know. I don't think Mrs. Finley really cared much for it, but don't worry about the surprise ending. Oh, boy. Well, we're going to do something we haven't done in a while. We do it very rare. Because they're harder and harder to find.
Yes.
But we found the one, and here it is.
And now, the Honeymooners Podcast presents...
It's not in the top hand, drawer!
The Flub of the Week.
All right. Flub of the week, folks. Yes. So...
Dusty on that hall.
Thank you. So, I was watching an episode one afternoon because that's what I do.
He does.
and I was watching a woman's work is never done.
Mm-hmm.
And probably out of all the flubs, this person has probably had the least because this person is just such a perfectionist.
Yeah.
She, if you haven't figured it out already, was so flawless.
Yeah.
But we found a little flub from Alice.
Just more of a spoonerism, you said,
spoonerism,
right?
Spoonerism, flubbish, yes.
Yeah, more on the spoonerism side.
It's a spoonerism side. And I'll play it, tell me if you hear it, and then we'll tell you what it is.
All right, Ralph, I'm telling you something. I am sick and tired of taking care of this place, and I'm not doing it anymore.
Did you guys hear it? It's a spoonerism.
Play it again.
I'm telling you something. I am sick and tired of taking care of this place, and I'm not doing it anymore.
Okay. Dusty out in that hall.
Yes. And if you didn't hear it, I bet you all you've heard it now.
Yeah, now you heard it.
I'm sick of taking care of this place. Obviously, she kind of got ahead of herself. So, instead of saying, I'm going to take care of this place. I'm going to take care of this place because you're thinking of the word ahead with the P in
right.
the place.
And that's what a spoonerism is.
Exactly. And very rare. First of all, we're at a point now where I wasn't looking for it.
Yeah, no.
I wasn't looking for it. I was just enjoying it, watching it the way we all lunatics now watch this show. Yeah. We don't watch it normally like normal people do. just looking for the funny parts and just enjoying it. We have to dissect it like we're brain surgeons. But
taking out bone chips and somebody's knee or something. You know, like.
Yeah. But a very, very faint little flub.
A
spoonerism.
Spoonerism
by the great Aud.
Aud.
Which is, to me, one of your best finds.
Oh, that was...
The Aud.
Aud.
Yeah.
The last episode. He took him to the last episode.
Yeah.
That's in the last episode.
Oh, that's right. When he's sitting down,
yep.
finds out that that Bill Davis called.
Mm-hmm. She called. Called him up on the phone.
On the phone. He called her up. She called him up today. She called him? She called him? Okay. That's
actually, Joe, doesn't she flub in the very first episode? Home Alone, Alone Home? With the television, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, wait. No, I'm sitting here at home. Alone while you're out with the... No, that was Alice and the Blonde. At home, you're alone, while you're out. Fun with the fellas. Because I just watched it the other day.
That's why I was fresh in my head. I thought it was the television one because she's looking. She's like, I have nothing to do all day. That you.
No.
So it's fun with the fellas. Fun with the fellas.
And what was great was that she, because she was so great, she caught herself.
But... and I think we talked about this once before, I thought that she should have kept going with it because it wouldn't have mattered. Home Alone, Alone Home.
Right.
I mean, I know, big difference.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. But it was probably the way her brain worked.
Her brain worked. That's not the line.
That's not the line.
And I'm going to correct it.
And I'm going to correct it.
I'm going to correct it, yeah. So. It didn't work out too good for you. She just went with the flow. You should have went with the flow to the diner flow, and you would have been fine.
Flow to the diner flow.
It would have been fine.
It would have been fine. So that is our first bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second one, this one... it's not really, it doesn't really come as a bit. It's just something that Louis noticed. Now, in the Harvey scene,
yes,
in the pool room,
mm-hmm,
right before Harvey, right when Harvey's about to say, "Where do you live?
Where do you live?"
Norton, when he goes, "We'll be there. Yeah. Don't you worry about it."
Yeah.
Listen to the fact that we think Harvey
almost jumps a line. Almost. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, this is really tough to hear. If you were going to go to YouTube, this one's everywhere. You can find this episode everywhere. Find it, and it's at the, let me see, about the 9 minute and 30 second mark. So go right to there.
Right.
And you'll see. After Joe plays it, you'll understand what we're talking about. But try to listen
right.
and see if you can hear it.
And picture in your head, it's Ralph and then
Harvey
pointing at Ralph. They're looking at each other, and Norton is behind Harvey.
He just puts his jacket on.
Puts his jacket
George
on.
George has already walked to the front of the pool table to rack him up.
Oh, okay.
That's where George went.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's why he's not in the scene.
That's right, because that's when he says, yeah, come on, George, I'm going to go home.
No,
and hit
no,
the
before
bank.
They go, yeah, he goes, rack him up, George. So George leaves the scene. Not the scene, but the picture.
Because they're a little close
up. He leaves the frame.
Right.
He leaves the frame. But he's exactly. He's still on the scene because
he's
at the head of the pool table racking them up.
Correct.
Because then like you just said, when he said, come on, George, I want to go home, hit the big, they leave together.
Gotcha.
But this is Ralph, Harvey, and Norton's behind him.
Yep.
When he's putting his jacket on.
Correct.
Okay, so
right. Go ahead. And now listen to Harvey and see if you can catch this.
Yeah.
So you want to fight me some other time, huh? All right, wise guy. Meet me at 8 o'clock at Kelsey's gym Friday night.
Come on. We will be there. Just make sure that you show up.
Don't worry, I'll be there.
We have to keep...
And if you don't show up, I'll come get you. Where do you live? 328 Chauncey Street.
It's just a great...
It's just so funny. But if you hear, Harvey say, and which where he was about to say, and if you don't show up,
I'll come get you.
But when he goes, and that's when Norton says, and make sure you show up.
Right.
And then he goes, don't worry, I'll be there. And then he goes,
and where do you live?
And where do you live? Exactly.
So we think he's ready to jump his line there, but yep. He recovered when Norton said his line.
Right.
So you got to watch it. When you watch it, you'll have a better understanding, and then you know, and then you can formulate whatever you think it is.
I'll play it again, but you'll hear him say, right before Norton says, and make sure you guys don't show up.
Yeah, make sure.
He says, and you could see Harvey if you watch it. Mm-hmm. He puts his finger out.
Pointing to Ralph based on his stomach. Yeah, like,
right, yeah, pointing at his stomach, which is hard to miss.
Yeah,
but.
Really.
So you want to fight me some other time, huh? All right, wise guy. Meet me at 8 o'clock at Kelsey's gym Friday night.
Come on. We will be there. Just make sure that you show up.
Don't worry, I'll be
And then he goes
there.
Right back to it.
Yeah. And if you don't show
and if you don't
up,
show
and if you don't show.
Where do you live? 328 Chauncey Street.
That's where we do the show, too.
Yeah, really? Clifton, New Jersey.
Yeah. So I thought it was a good little find.
Yeah.
To just see that Harvey probably jumped his
line.
Because the only other explanation was that Norton ad-libbed that, but I don't think so.
I don't think so, because Harvey came back with a perfect... You're not going to have two ad-libs like that.
Right.
Like,
don't worry, I'll be there. You know, which... In another world, like in our little insane universe, like, how cool would that be is if that line, you know, don't worry, I'll be there... Which we all know.
Yes.
And ended up being an ad lib. Like, that would be pretty wild to know.
Really?
Oh my God, you know. But we thoroughly believe that he was going to say that anyway.
Yeah.
But he just jumped his line
for a second.
And of course, the great Art Carney doesn't miss it.
Flew right through.
Right through. So I like that. That was almost like a combination of a Louis observation.
Yeah.
And a. Almost flub. Almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I know where.
Dude, this is a triple. This is a triple threat. It's a Louis observation. It's a could have been like a flub or ad lib or not
ad lib. Ad lib or not ad lib. It's like Tom Harmon, the triple triple threat we covered way back when.
Oh, man. But yeah, I just realized that.
Punt, pass, and kick competition.
Yes. Okay. So now we want to get into another bit. And this one, it's just great hearing his voice.
Yeah, we do these things on purpose.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are proud to present Honeymooners Podcast Revisited.
It's fantastic. And this has got to be the greatest Swanee River.
Yeah, it really is. Just a swanky.
It swings a little bit. It's good.
And what's funny is that, and that's ironic that, and I mean it's with Dave, and even though Dave is a you know black metal lead singer, he's in all these. He's
screamer,
got like,
not a singer. Don't sing.
Well, yeah, he does a lot of throating and screaming and everything. But he and his brother, they used to have a station online called Radio Free Satan. And it was all swing music.
You're kidding.
All swing music. It was called RadioFreeSatan.com, and it was all swing music. Absolutely. That song was probably played on their channel.
That's where you got it from.
This
one's swinging.
But the great Dave Ingram, yes. Of course.
That voice, oh, my God.
Yeah, and ladies, he's off the market, so, you know, even though the voice probably.
And he's in Copenhagen.
Yeah, he's around here. Okay, so we're revisiting last week.
Yes.
So go ahead, Lou.
Oh, we're revisiting the clothing scene from the Safety Award, right?
That was the whole thing we talked about. The
dresses and the suit jackets and the whole bit.
How they wrote it, and it was just done very well.
Yeah, so
yep.
You going to play that bit, Joe?
Yep.
Okay, let her ride.
All right, here we go. And this was...
Now, listen, because this is like a mistake also.
Yeah.
I think people have noticed this in the past.
I think so.
Yeah, so just listen. Just listen.
What are they doing?
Look, Ralph, you and Alice better make plans, go there without us. You know how I'd like to be there to see you get the award, Ralph.
Look, Norton, you got to go up and talk Trixie out of taking that dress off.
I'm too young to die. Here it is, the biggest day of my life, and everybody's ruining it.
Oh, look, Ralph, I'll do it. Only for you. I wouldn't do it for nobody else, but I'll do it for you.
Into the Valley of Death rides the 600.
There we go.
Yeah, we kept that in.
We had to keep that in because it's from the charge with the light.
Exactly, because that was Al. Hal, who one of the people that told us what that
was,
even though Lou knew it too.
Yeah, but I couldn't think of it.
So now Louie noticed.
Yeah, this is
when he's listened to last
week. It's been like an argument. People have mentioned, like I said, people have mentioned it. I don't know what on other sites or whatever. And I think we had talked about it ages ago. Who knows? We talked about everything, I guess. Nothing we can talk about anymore.
But anyway, 3 episodes, and I still have like 2 pages of notes. Stuff the weakest.
He says, "You got to talk Trixie out of taking that dress off." So. It's like the double negative there. So he's got to basically, he should be saying, you got to talk Trixie into taking that dress off.
Correct. Because if you're
talking
her out of.
Like, because it's saying, like, she's taking it off. You got to talk her out of taking it off.
Right.
So that's
where
not what he wanted.
Really not what he.
Not what he wanted.
That's not, that so, would not be conducive.
So
he
should have been talk Trixie into
taking that
dress
off. Exactly.
Yeah.
So. And it actually ties into what we were saying. And what we were saying was Trixie should. And it actually worked out the right way.
Later.
She should have
you
taken the dress off because
it was Alice and Ralph's day.
Yeah. They were being guests, and it was nice that they were invited.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so now that is your first.
That's my first one. Now the second one.
All right.
This is before an observation, which is going to be our third one.
All right. And so remember, I got the clip for it.
Which what clip you got? You got the... Oh, okay. Now, all right. So
we're doing sign language.
We're doing sign language here.
Two chimps going back and forth at each other.
I'm peeling a banana with my foot right now. So, so the second thing we noticed is I just noticed when and you don't really look at it because again it's off camera. It's when Alice and Trixie when Trixie comes back down, basically to apologize to Alice, and then they apologize to each other. Trixie, I'm sorry for being silly. All the silly things I said.
Right.
Blah blah blah. Now in the background, if you notice, Ralph is making his tie, the tie that he couldn't make.
I never noticed this
because. It's silk, because it was and the knots kept on slipping.
Kept on slipping.
And then Norton gave him the old, let the hell sailor take care of it.
which is so funny.
What,
hilarious.
So here it is. It's actually Gleason.
Right.
Making this, because he was, you know,
and like we said, an impeccable dresser. So of course his tie is going to look like it just came out of a showroom.
He makes this this knot, this perfect knot. It looked like a clip-on tie. It was so perfect. Yeah. So that's the you don't see him because you're not well you see him but you're not paying attention
right
you're probably
exactly.
focusing on Alice and
Absolutely.
Trixie but now after listening to this podcast for 103 episodes you're not going to look at Alice and Trixie you're going to look off yes. to the side like
yes,
we tell you to
exactly
always look what's going on in
always
the background.
See what's going on in the background.
In the background so
and Ralph who couldn't tie a tie makes
a
one of the most you know why? Because Ralph Cramden couldn't tie the tie.
That's right.
Gleason,
Jackie Gleason could.
Absolutely could and did tie.
And makes a perfect.
An impeccable tie.
Not.
Perfect.
Perfect. So that's another thing you could look at when you
absolutely.
Go back and look at that.
And
that
now.
Eight minute stretch, right, Joe? It's an 8 minute stretch, that scene
I think
of the.
That scene was yeah, about 8 minutes.
8 minutes,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful scene. And we have another bit. And this is from the same scene.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And we'll play it.
We just want to play it.
And now, from the observation deck overlooking the Johnson Building at 328 Chauncey Street, the Honeymooners Podcast presents Louie's Observations.
All right. Louie's Observation.
Yes.
Again, brought to you by Silk City Hot Sauce.
Silk City Hot Sauce.
Go to SilkCityHotSauce.com and put an RX in the coupon
code
and get yourself 50%
off. Percentage. And a free bottle of
Cherry
Sriracha.
Cherry Sriracha.
If he still makes it.
I don't even think he does.
What are we doing here? Oh, Louis Observation.
Louis Observation.
Oh, you're going to play the scene.
Now, this is from the same scene.
Same scene.
And I enjoy this. I always like Louis Observations. This one, I like a lot.
We're running out of them, too. So.
And here we go. Comes in.
My laundry didn't come back yet, and I'd like to have a handkerchief for the breast pocket of my new sport coat.
All right, there's some handkerchiefs in the top drawer.
How about this one?
It's one of my new ones. Remember, just wear it in a pocket. It's for showing, not blowing.
Great line.
Great line.
Great line.
Delivers it perfectly.
Okay, now here's the observation.
Here's Louis' observation.
This is Ed Norton and Trixie Norton. The laundry didn't come back yet. You mean to tell me Trixie sends out her laundry? Like,
could
what
you imagine,
are you doing all day long?
Could you imagine how much more jealousy Alice would have towards Trixie? Not only because she's got, you know,
electric
all the different
stoves
things,
and, yeah, laying on,
and now
and
she's
got worries.
And she's got worries. She doesn't have some financial
security.
Mr. Financial
Security. So she's sending out her laundry. You mean to tell him you can't do that? You can do the handkerchiefs in the sink. You don't even have to go down to the basement with Mrs. Monicotti.
If you are getting your laundry done, why are you giving your handkerchief?
I can't see anything, to be honest with you, Joe. What do you send that? Unless something has to be dry cleaned.
Yeah.
I don't think any of his handkerchiefs have to be dry cleaned.
Yeah, I don't think
he's
so.
Hanging it down to the,
it's just funny because he could have said... In that moment, they could have said anything.
Anything.
Like, I can't find any of my handkerchiefs.
Yeah.
Can I borrow
one
of yours?
Yeah.
Instead, wait a minute. I will even play it again. I think I talked over it. But if you hear what he actually says.
Our laundry didn't come back yet, and I'd like to have
our laundry didn't come back yet.
Like, I'm like, what? They're sending their laundry out?
Yeah. I mean, does sometimes... at Norton, hang out in the library. Hey, camping and library closed at 9. I mean, it's just so silly.
Yeah, like,
but it's just funny because, again, a great Louis observation. Like, really? The Nortons are getting their laundry done?
Yeah. This is how, wow.
Absolutely fantastic.
Man, so I wonder what Trixie does all day.
I know what she's doing. She's sitting around, sitting there fooling around. Sitting there fooling around. Fooling around? Like, what could she possibly fool around with? The radio?
Oh, yeah. With,
like, doesn't even have TV.
She's got TV.
Well, that's true. Maybe she's upstairs. Maybe she's up.
Watching those daytime shows back
then. Oh, yeah. Those daytime.
Charlie Chan movie in the afternoon or something.
Charlie Chan.
While Alice is washing the floors and washing windows and scrubbing this and that.
Yeah, exactly. And
in that two-room apartment, how busy can you be?
Two-room apartment.
Apartment that has nothing. There's no drapes. Nothing. There's no rugs. Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no reason for her vacuum cleaner.
No upholstered furniture.
No upholstered furniture, exactly.
Pays to buy the best.
Okay, good. Glad you went a little bit different.
Changed up a little.
Changed it up a bit. Yeah. Okay, so this I thought this was absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, this is a good one.
So we got a comment on somebody on YouTube, and I'll read the comment. It was a girl named Megan Sividance. Dances or something. I don't know exactly how to say. Nice show. It was the one where it was, I think it was one of the ones where we were talking about Palomine. And we were talking about the man at the door.
Man at the door.
Yes, he was guy. With the overcoat.
With the big jacket and the big hat. And we used to call him the Yes, He Was guy.
Yes, He Was guy. Exactly. So.
My favorite tertiary character.
Right. Well, the funny thing is that he's not mentioned anywhere.
No.
So we never even knew his name.
No.
Well, nice show. I enjoyed how much you enjoyed my grandfather's small part in this episode. Merrill Joles, the actor who played, quote, the guy in the oversized hat and overcoat, who came in with the message, I was just watching the episode out on YouTube and stumbled upon your podcast. Grandpa would have appreciated that people are still enjoying his work. Thank you. So I said, oh, well, great. That's awesome. She sends me an email. Now, it's a little lengthy, but I feel everybody will enjoy this. Mm-hmm. All right? I'll try to skip. I'll skip.
Skip
the technicalities.
Mr. Carson read it. Oh, yes. Where was I?
Good evening.
Hey, oh, yes. Where was I?
I should have you do it as Mr. Marshall. Good evening,
Ralph.
So thank you again for your lovely podcast. You asked for information. I'm happy to provide. This is a brief bit of information on my grandfather and his career. Feel free to whatever. Okay. My grandfather, Merrill E. Joles, he had a successful professional acting career of 45 years. He served as the Army in World War II. After basic training, they discovered he was an actor and had some directing experiences. He founded the Mark Twain Maskers Community Theater in Hartford, Connecticut, which ran for over 60 seasons, even after he left for New York City. So they put him to work organizing and directing live shows to sell war bonds for most of the war. His efforts earned him a campaign medal for service during wartime and an Army Commendation Medal. A large majority of his professional work was in radio dramas and voice recordings for records, though he did many stage performances and did extra supporting work in television and film. He worked constantly and never needed to hold a side job or any other job. Here's a fascinating thing. Wow. A couple of his more memorable roles. You will recognize him as the toll booth operator during the shootout in The Godfather.
Yeah.
There's a nice face shot at 129. I'm going to post this whole email our page. Mm-hmm. So he was in the toll booth when Sonny got killed. In The Godfather. That was the man with the overcoat. It must have been like, was Sonny shot?
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was.
He's in room 317 at the Bushburg Hospital. Dr. Seifert's taking care of him.
It's a little easier than just fixing something on a head instead of all these shots. Fun story about this one. He got hazard pay for this because the glass is real glass in the shootout, and they were shooting actual bullets through the glass. So he was under a tarp with glass raining down over him for most of that scene. He got royalty checks for The Godfather up until his death. Every time they ran a marathon on TV, he would get a check for 30 or 40 cents. At the point where the checks were worth less than the stamp, he used to gripe that he would rather have given him an unused stamp. Here's nothing. Another interesting thing. He voiced Eeyore in all the original RCA Victor Winnie the Pooh recordings with Jimmy Stewart before Disney bought out Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, there you go.
So he was Eeyore.
Eeyore.
He also does the narration and all the other character parts on Frank Buck's Tiger. Now, I'm not sure what that is, but there's going to be a link to this, so okay. I'm going to repost this, so there'll be a link. Grandpa also published a book, Acting is a Business, How to Get into Television and Radio. Copies are still available thanks to Forgotten Books, considering it an important historical work. And then there's an Amazon link for that. On a personal note, when I was looking at colleges, my father and I made a point of looking in every university and college library we could visit to see if they had a copy. All the major acting schools had one of this book.
Okay.
The book is really great gateway into my grandfather's head. It's full of personal anecdotes and experiences along with the important information. Grandpa played hundreds of roles that my grandmother had a written list at one point, but so much of what he did was live, or they didn't credit extras and bit parts in the credits on television back then. And since they both passed, we have been piecing a lot of it back together and finding clips online so we could start building a more official record. We have been doing the same, trying to find my grandmother's television appearances. My grandmother Marion was also a professional actress and singer, and then managed my father and uncle when they were child actors in New York in the 50s and 60s. She and Grandpa were an incredible pair. I hope this is the kind of thing you were looking for. If you have any more specific questions, I am happy to answer them if I have the information. Thank you, Megan Joles Sividancy.
There you go.
How cool was that?
Unbelievable.
It's
the second grandchild. Second
grandchild from somebody on the show. If you guys remember, Mark and Doreen.
Yes.
Doreen's grandfather was
Michael Dowd.
Michael Dowd. Hey, get a load of fatso guy.
Get a little fatso there, yeah.
And now Megan accidentally just stumbles onto it. And the best part about this is that I didn't know who he was.
No, we don't know.
And nobody said anything. And I'm surprised, because if anybody would have known, I think Ira or Brother Bibbs
yep.
would have known that he was in the toll booth.
Mm-hmm.
But it was maybe it was one of those things where she said you could see his face in the one thing.
Yeah.
But they were using actual bullets. Wow. That's crazy.
It is nuts.
But this is absolutely fantastic. I am going to copy this, and after the show comes out, I'm going to put it on our page. So if anybody wants to read it again and check out any of the links.
And the links are in there.
But how cool is this?
Oh,
from us doing this podcast, we find out who the man at the door is.
Yeah, she stumbled on that, I guess.
She stumbled on that. Yeah.
That episode.
That episode we recovered, she stumbled because it's one of our things that we put on there and decided to send us this email. And we thank you, Megan. And her grandfather, he's part of our lives.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
He's part of our lives.
God. Quote him. Yes, he was.
Absolutely.
And I mean, how could you now think of this? IMDb gives him no credit.
None.
They give him credit for The Godfather, but not for Man at the Door.
Yeah.
Come on.
I know.
I would be more interested in Man at the Door than The Godfather. I'd rather be known as that.
Maybe. Maybe one of the lunatics might take a little incentive to maybe contact IMDb and say, hey, by the way, this is a Merrill.
Merrill Joles.
Merrill Joles.
Yeah. Put him in there.
Get in there.
Get up there. Get up there.
Get up there. So, Megan, we thank you.
Thank you so much.
And I think it's absolutely fascinating.
Oh, God.
I love this email. I can't wait to share the whole thing, even because there's a lot of people that don't listen to the show that are, that are on our page.
Yeah.
So they'll be able to check this out and check out some of the clips. But I think it's great. Oh. It makes me feel cool that we got contacted by
somebody.
Yeah.
And both people that contacted us were so appreciative of us.
Us. And we're sitting there like,
we're appreciative of them.
For first of all, knowing, checking out the show.
Yeah.
And then either contacting us or emailing
us.
Doreen contacted us with her husband and then did a great, hey, get a load of fence. One of the best ever.
I wish
I could figure out what episode that was of ours.
Right.
And maybe I'll try to find out, and then we'll tell people go back to episode 52 and go check it out.
Go check it out.
Because she was just great.
That was that's just phenomenal. Two people.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to say obscure, but they kind of are obscure when you think about the whole thing of the show.
Absolutely.
Like who appeared on the show. They are basically obscure. Especially the guy, I hate to say, but the guy at the door, he's an obscure character.
Absolutely. Did a ton of stuff behind the scenes, but he's only gotten credited for like five things on television.
Yeah.
Because he did a bunch of live things and you know, the plays and extra work and behind the scenes stuff. So
Unbelievable. The yes he was guy. That's what we called him. The yes he was.
Merrill E. Joles, I think it was. But wow. Thank you, Megan. You rock. We appreciate it.
Oh, God, yeah.
And that was her grandfather. Her grandfather.
Her grandfather. He was there.
He was there. All right, everybody. Well, we're coming to Louis's 131st favorite.
That's right.
Clip of the, bit of the show.
Yeah.
And we all know what that is.
130 more things I like better, but, you know.
But he still likes it.
He still likes it.
And now, Tom, who is our first guest, please? Our first guest, ready to leap the first hurdle on his way to the $99,000 answer, is our
comedian from Norfolk, Virginia, Joe Conte.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I want to see the expression on your face when you miss it.
Oh, wow, that was...
And he may miss it.
Oh.
For the second time, I think I used this once before.
You did. I pass through Norfolk a lot doing my comedy stuff.
Yeah. Norfolk, Virginia. Okay. Question prepared by?
Professor Walter Newman.
As all are.
Yep.
He told me he likes the new...
What?
The new honey habanero. He's ran out of old cherry sriracha.
Okay.
So he went and ordered. And,
all right.
And I hope he didn't pay because he's, you know.
No, he's Professor Walter Newman.
You know, he's contributes to the show.
Yeah, he's a professor.
We would have no questions if it wasn't him.
We'd have no questions.
All right, here we go, Jim.
Okay.
In the dog food scene in Mr. Marshall's office.
Okay.
Five people in that office. One off scene. Who are they?
Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Tebbets.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Tebbets too.
Yeah.
What is
this? Yeah, the guy who goes before he says, bring in Mr. Tebbets too.
Give me the first initial.
P.
Mr. Peck.
There you go.
Mr. Peck and Mr. Tebbets.
And the last time we did it, he was the same guy you didn't get.
Was it the same guy?
You didn't get Mr. Peck the last time we did this question, because I remember doing it.
I've done this question before,
yeah.
Oh, and I missed it.
And you missed Peck both times.
I don't know.
You said four Pecks make a push.
Maybe I have an issue.
And who's off screen?
That's Miss Evans.
Miss Evans.
Miss Evans.
Miss Evans. And Mr. Peck. And Mr. Tebbets, too.
I love your Marshall.
Oh, I love Marshall.
I love your delicious Marshall.
If there was ever a revival of the honeymoon and the needed actor, I want to play Mr. Marshall.
You would definitely play Mr. Marshall.
I'm going to kill Mr. Marshall.
Oh, it would just absolutely be fantastic if you could be Marshall.
And if I can't get that, then I'll take either Douglas or Merrill E. Joles at the door.
At the door. Yes, he was.
Yes, he was. I know all his lines.
It's true. Yeah, you do. You know all of their lines.
Yeah.
That's all you need. All right. Well, let's see.
May not fit his part, but his costume. You know, the oversized hat and coat.
So who can we thank? First of all, we want to thank Silk City Hot Sauce for being our sponsor. Go to silkcityhotsauce.com. Get yourself some great hot sauce. Put RX in the coupon code on your way out. And get yourself 15% off of your order. Percentage off of your order, and maybe you get something else, but we don't really know.
We don't know yet.
But, you know, whatever. And all of you who listen, and especially those of you in the fraternity.
Yes, the fraternity.
And, which is growing every week.
Hal's,
and there's
we
so many
Hal.
Of you. Today's full grown nut of the week was Hal. And there's so many of you guys that we have to get to. And maybe at some point we'll just do two at a time.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe we'll do two at a time at some point. Yeah. And share with your friends on social media, maybe some of our episodes that you like, or maybe some of the videos. And we want to thank the Facebook group, the Honeymooners Raccoon Lodge, yes, with Joy and Brother Norton.
Yep.
And if you want to check out my comedy album called Happiness, you can download it anywhere you get your music or comedy. Or if you just want to follow me anywhere on social media, it's Joe Conti Comic on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever.
Appearing in Norfolk, Virginia.
In Norfolk, Virginia. Yes, I'll be there. I'll be
And it's easy to get to. There's a train that runs right through.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Buy a ticket from Minneapolis.
Absolutely.
And you'll wind up in Norfolk, Virginia at Joe's show.
Exactly. It's right near Fred's Landing.
Fred's
so,
Landing, right there.
You know, when you one of your weekend nights there, you come by, check right out the show, get right back to the tent with the snake
in it.
There
you go.
All right. Well, episode 103 in the books. For me and Louie, we say we'll see you next time.
E pluribus raccoonum. Night all.
Goodbye, Mr. Crandon. I'll be seeing you.
I'll be seeing you. Irving Kale and Sammy Fain, 1938.
No, Mr. Crandon, it's all over now.
It's all over now. Bassie Simon, 1927.
No, good night, Mr. Crandon.
Good night. There were two songs, good night. It was Good Night, Irene, written by Lomax and Ledbetter. Good Night, Sweetheart, written by Rudy Valley and Ray Noble.
RX.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.